welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of March 26th, 2020. Today we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How you doing, Mariah?
I usually say I'm doing well, and I'm doing well. I'm holding it together, but I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling a little lost right now, Ted.
Really? Well, you would be in good company with many other people that are feeling the just general sense of bewilderment, right? And I guess I think we should start out the show by recognizing that, in fact, that's a legitimate state to be in. I mean, the news and things that are happening are take your breath away sometimes with the rapidity and the consequence of what is happening. And it's human to be a little bit nonplussed, I think is the word. I'm not really sure where that comes from, but nonplussed seems like the minimal kind of state you can be in right now.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I guess if you're listening to the show, I hope you take a minute to just take a deep breath, look inside yourself, tell yourself, you know, things are going to be things that you've got the strength to carry on, I guess, and that we're all going to, we're all in unity here, sort of marching forward, trying to do the right thing, and to try and keep your strength up. Right, Mariah?
Yes. I just did some of my good deep Zen breaths, and I feel better already, Ted.
Okay. I guess one of the places that I think is worthwhile for us to begin is actually a hopeful thing, I think. It's an interesting, it's related to the coronavirus stuff, but it's bigger than the coronavirus stuff. And in some sense, it is, I hope, a way to reorder our thinking. And so let me just begin simply. I'll refer to Dave Roberts, who's put up an article talking about these things. But the situation that we are in right now, Mariah, correct me if you think I'm not right, is that we have an immediate crisis of helping people that are threatened by the coronavirus. You know, there's people out of work, there's people that are sick, there's people that don't have health care, there's people worried about making the mortgage. I mean, everyone is just legitimately concerned with all the things that might happen. And the government and as a society, we need to take care of those people. But in parallel, you can take a deep breath and say, there's probably going to be a economic fallout from this. I don't want to say recession because I'm not an economist, but you know, bad things might happen because things are seriously, a lot of people are out of work, right? That's a different question. That's a question of business cycles of slightly longer scale. And it's legitimate to wonder, since everything has been busted up and is essentially, you know, all of our preconceptions are lying on the floor in a heap, that we should think about approaching the recovery from the oncoming economic downturn in a new way, that we have new things that we can think about. I mean, so Mariah, does that at least sound legitimate as a opening predicate for our discussion?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we've got three converging crises right now, right? We've got the pandemic and then the resulting sort of economic recession, or, you know, as you said, at least there will be some economic problems. We have climate change, which hasn't gone away. It's still just as intense and dangerous as ever. And then we have extreme inequality. And so these are three things that we're facing, and we have an opportunity to ameliorate them in a just, fair, and equitable way, as we say in our, you know, at the end of our show, as you say at the end of our show. And in some ways, this is providing us an opportunity to maybe reset and rethink. I don't know if I believe that we will do that. In fact, I'm going to hope that we will. We'll just leave it at that. I am not going to give up my hope. That's for sure.
And part of our, we will talk about things that we can do to turn our hopes into realities. But this is where then some other, I guess, mental concepts or tools come in handy. So we've talked at various times in the show about a economist, a public figure, Naomi Klein, an author. She's written several books, and one of her most famous books is something called The Shock Doctrine. And we've talked about The Shock Doctrine, but basically the thesis of that book is that conservative economists, Milton Friedman being one of the famous ones from the Second World War on, were very much interested in moving away from government interference in the market. And they deliberately created policies that could be implemented when a disaster happened. Right? And the famous case in point of thing you might want to hang on to is Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans that just came through and blasted out all of New Orleans. And suddenly in walks the government, the Bush administration, with free enterprise zones, privatization of schools, all these ideas that are basically market fundamentalists, you know, very right-wing, market-oriented solutions to societal problems. But this is her point in the book of Shock Doctrine, to say, hey, through these ideas, they've been, that the other side has been tending for the intent of putting into practice when all the eggs get broken, right? And she is saying, we'll put up a link to it, she recently was saying how right now all the eggs are broken again, and society, everyone's searching around for new ideas as to how to respond. And I would say that climate hawks, progressives, have this time around a lot of really good ideas about what to do to rebuild the economy after this, let's call it a calamity, after this bad thing's happening. There's lots and lots of things to that can be done, and they should be put on the table and legitimately considered. I guess one of the things that I just wanted to say, I don't really, not a big a big point, but during the Second World War, Franklin Roosevelt began planning for the post-war period in roughly 1943. Right, while the Marines are still in Iwo Jima trying to march across the Pacific, the government was thinking about what's going to come after the war. Right? Similarly, right here in the midst of this pandemic, it's almost incumbent on us to figure out how we might deal with the fallout after we get past the immediate crisis of hospital, yada yada, all that stuff. I mean, where are we going to be? And so that's where I want to start. And I think that is a hopeful place for climate activists to put their attention, because that's something we can build. And yeah, Mariah, you can jump in, but I mean, we got a $2 trillion package sailing through the Senate right now, and climate hawks have been calling for trillions of dollars to be spent on the economy, a clean economy, for years, and it's been ignored, and all of a sudden we get $2 trillion. So it's possible to think big, and we should be thinking big, right? Does that make any sense, Mariah?
Yeah, it does. I mean, just to clarify, the $2 trillion bill that's going through the government right now is not geared at all around clean economy, right? No, that's no. One of the problems with it is that we've got this bill going through the government, and it's not addressing things in the way that we would like to see. And there is, you know, it's hard. One of the things that can be stymieing is that you've got sort of this more of this Democrat and Republican back and forth, both of them saying the other's trying to politicize this crisis. Right. But the real root of this here is we're trying to envision a post-pandemic world and how to get us back on our feet. And it's important that we fight for using that money in a way that helps everyone and not just some of us.
Can I put my pet peeve out there one more time? This is like an itch I can't scratch, that the airlines, who have been polluting horribly, right, and will become a bigger and bigger component of greenhouse gas emissions, they're in line for a $50 billion bailout, right, to get them back to where we were 2 weeks ago.
Yep, right? And cruise ships as well. Yep.
And it's just like, wait a minute, that's not the future that we need. So okay, so without banging on that, so I guess what people should know is that recently, now recently means like the day before yesterday. Things are happening so fast, right? I mean, these calamitous, huge things are going back and forth in every news
Now you
cycle.
blink and the world tilts, yeah.
Yeah, the world's different. There is, and you'll hear this phrase, I hope, coming up. And if you don't hear it, you should speak it to your congressperson. The hashtag is a green stimulus. And so this is a program that's been put forth by progressive thinkers to basically, as you said, Mariah, to sort of bring the society face to face and solve the question of the immediate COVID-19 pandemic, the huge inequality in the economy, and the fact that we have this ongoing climate emergency and preparing ourselves for that, right? So,
Yeah.
and what I guess what so to be honest with you, I will be honest, the number of proposals and ideas of things that can be done, these folks have put forward and others have put forward, is mind-numbing. I couldn't read the whole article. I mean, my eyes started to roll back in my head at the number of detailed sort of jargony, three-letter acronyms about things that could be done, right? But there's a ton of them. And taking out the most important ones is important. But what the group is basically saying is that the immediate pandemic response that we have now, there's $2 trillion that we're flowing through the system now, should be institutionalized, and that we should put, what do they say, 4% of the gross domestic product, which would be roughly $850 billion, use that as a stimulus every year until the economy is fully decarbonized and the unemployment rate is down to some low place. I mean, they say, okay, this is what we got to do, and that $850 billion brings us to a more progressive, greener, more healthy society. And there's, again, there's a long list of things that you could do. So it's
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that the other thing that it calls for is creating millions of family-sustaining green jobs, lifting the standards of living, accelerating a just transition to, off of fossil fuels, and making our society and economy stronger and more resilient in the faces of pandemic, recession, and climate emergencies. That's another big, important piece of this
Well, it,
stimulus.
I mean, I saw something somewhere that said the, get this, this is sounds like hyperbole, but that the coronavirus, what we're doing now, is kind of a dry run for the climate-related catastrophe that might come out of the woodwork, right? That you could have something that's even
Yeah.
bigger, right? So it's not like this sort of systemic risk to everyone is going to go away, and that what's happening right now is we're showing all of the ugly underbelly of the inequality of what we're not doing. And the question is, how do we get to a place where we've dealt with that?
I mean, and at the risk of course, I think it's dangerous to try and say, well, everything relates to climate change, but there has been a number of writing that a number of articles written that talk about how, in some ways, coronavirus it does spawn from, as we sort of encroach more and more onto forests and interact more with animals and are sort of invading the natural habitat of animals. It does that is what gives rise to more problems like this, and also the loss of biodiversity means that more of these viruses are popping up and taking over. So in a lot of ways, the loss of biodiversity is part of leading toward coronavirus. And as we mentioned on a podcast earlier, you've got the permafrost melting, releasing all kinds of, you talked about that nasty dead bird that we hope nothing eats, right? And that, it's whatever, thousands of years old. That is definitely going to start, that does cause a major concern for what's coming out of all of that melting permafrost. And
And I think so. There's the that sort of
not to be
medical,
scary,
well,
but
the medical threat. But the thing I was looking at was talking about the financial, like when the oil companies. We do not have the time tonight to get to the fact that the price of oil has collapsed. So Exxon and all these places are going, are going to go belly up. And what does that do to the economy? Right? So we could have a 2008 all over again, driven by some climate-related thing, and we're back looking at each other with no money, and how are we going to asking how are we going to take care of people who don't who are marginalized, right? And so the time is now to begin to make the society more robust against all kinds of things, against all these social ills. But at the same time, part of it is to, I think the vision of this green stimulus idea is to help get ourselves out of the recession by employing people in the green industry, building solar panels and doing all this important stuff that we always talk about, which at the same time fights climate change. So you have this double, I don't know what the right sports analogy is, but you kill two birds with one stone.
No,
talk about dead birds, right?
It's good win-win.
Win-win. Let's go with a win-win. Yes. Yeah, that's better. But I mean, you can employ people and address the climate crisis at the same time, and that the question of the health care for all those people should not be tied to their jobs, because it's just not the right way to do it. So this is an opportunity to do all of these things because the system's broken. And, you know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, when Mitt Romney is calling for automatic, essentially universal basic income. I don't know if you saw that, Mariah, but Mitt Romney gets up and says, well, we need to send everybody a check for $1,000. Like, man, you know there's something big going on, right?
Yeah,
these people are running scared. So,
well, you know, I mean, it's the virus is almost sort of, in some ways, a microcosm of climate, the need for climate action, in that the earlier you act on this kind of stuff, the less impact it has economically. If we had acted on this in, you know, back in February, when certain people who will not be named were calling it a hoax,
right.
And if we'd acted on it then, we would have been, it would have had a lot less financial impact than it has by waiting and allowing the problem to grow and get worse. And so it is with climate change. The sooner you act on it, the sooner you start taking the drastic measures you need to address it, the less economic impact, devastating economic impact it will have. And of course, we're deep in the hole now with that, with the climate change impact, and with the, you know, of course, also with the coronavirus impact. And it's a lesson that I wish we had learned.
I mean, I think all of the, you're absolutely right that the whole coronavirus, I don't know what the narrative arc of the whole thing, has so many analogies to climate, from the denial to the fact that social distancing is the same as emissions reductions, in the sense that you don't get any payoff in the moment, right? And the payoff's going to come sometime later, either in May or in 10 or 20 years, right? All these analogies are there, and it's like you look and you can see you can predict would play out with the climate crisis happening within 2 or 3 months for the coronavirus. And you say, okay, I see this is the sequence. We know this is going to happen. It's just going to take longer with climate. So we still need to get in there and take action now.
Ted, I think we should do our next show on that.
We should. We should do another show on exactly that. But I mean, I think that, so currently there's a bill going through the House and the Senate. I think the Senate's going to vote on it soon. That bill is not very good. Okay, it's good. It's a good first step, right? As you well know, that we're talking about more than probably $2 trillion that's going to have to be spent over the next year, right? So this bill that's come through is okay. It still has, you know, the pig trough for some of the corporations to get in. And of course, you know, the question of, even though I rail against airlines, there's a lot of people work in airlines, right? So if you're going to give the money to the airlines, it has to come with significant conditions. Like, they're not going to lay people off, they're not going to buy back stock, and they're going to get on a path to the Paris Agreement, where they find a way to cut carbon emissions. I mean, it just has to be built in, right? So that people can keep their jobs. Oh, my God. Anyway, the current bill is going to go to the Congress on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. You should call your congressperson and tell them that you want a stronger bill. You want more protection for people. You want that bill to be, you want that funding to be continuing and not a one-shot deal. There's so many. So I guess we started out by saying we hope that we did the right thing this time. I think that what we need to do is call up your congressman and tell them to do the right thing and kind of insist that they do it. Oh,
good plan.
I'm all worked up. I mean,
That's good. We need that.
I need
we
to
need
calm
that
down.
Right? You got to call your congressman now.
Call your congressman now.
Congressperson right now with your
I've turned into that everybody's father or uncle. I'm retired, sitting around sending off emails to my congressman. It's like the congressman doesn't want to hear from me anymore.
Good thing.
I've sent you
good
three
thing.
Emails today already. Isn't
it? Oh, it's great. Okay. It keeps the world ticking.
Anyway, what we'll do is we'll put up links to most of what we talked about at the blog. There's some fascinating reading. There's really big ideas walking around out there now. And you do yourself a favor to familiarize yourself. Those links will be on the blog, which, of course, is on the MCAN website, which is massclimateaction.org/blog. That's where the live links are, okay? If you want, send us an email with your idea about how to spend $2 trillion. Remember we had a show a while ago about how to spend $10 billion. That's chump change, right? That's nothing. Now we're talking about $2
trillion.
Yeah. Send us a link. Send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net to say what we ought to do. Of course, you can listen to this podcast at all of your favorite podcast distribution apps. We want to thank D.R. Tucker for his continuing wonderful support. Great information that our friend DR sends weekly, and we really appreciate it. So we're going to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of those things, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector, and in fact, I suppose I should say, transform itself over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.